Welcome to Truth and Liberty. Thank you for joining our daily live call-in broadcast, where trusted leaders bring biblical insights to the issues, and you can call in and get your questions answered in real time. According to the Bible, it's the truth you know that sets you free. So call in today to get answers, information, and resources to help you stand for truth and effect godly change in our nation and the world. And now, here's your host, E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of Truth and Liberty. It is so great to be with you. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. My pleasure and honor. Thank you for joining in. Please tell a friend, tell a neighbor about Truth and Liberty. It is so hard to get the truth these days in any of the mainstream media outlets that are out there. We are determined, committed, I really believe anointed by God, to bring you the truth. And please be praying for Andrew Womack Ministries and praying for Truth and Liberty, that the Lord will continue to use him and use all of us who are part of the team to make sure that we are serving you in a way that God is glorified. So thanks again. We solicit your prayers. Now, got a number of things that we want to make sure you're aware of. First of all, the Truth and Liberty Awards Banquet. I will be there. It's on May 3rd at 6 p.m. Mountain Time at 800 Gospel Truth Way in Woodland Park. That's, of course, on the campus of Caris Bible College. The keynote speaker is Riley Gaines. And, of course, we're all familiar with her. She's taken a courageous stand on this whole issue of men, biological men, supplanting biological women in sports. And, of course, taking up all the top spots and winning all the awards and the trophies, because these men are often many pounds heavier, much more muscular. God created men and women different, and she understands that. And so she's going to be the keynote speaker. You don't want to miss this. And our awards recipients are Pat Bradley and Coach Joe Kennedy. I'm sure names with which you're familiar. Now, to register, go to Truth and Liberty. That's Truth with A-N-D spelled, truthandliberty.net to register. Don't forget our Summer Bible Conference. That's on July 1st through the 5th. Same location, 800 Gospel Truth Way. The speakers are Andrew Womack, Billy Epperhart, Mike and Carrie Pickett, Greg Moore, Barry Bennett, Chad Connolly, Richard Harris, Wendell Parr, and Stephen Bransford. And there you want to register at awmi.net. That's awmi.net/events. And the In God We Trust Performance 2024. Folks, if you've never seen a production at Andrew Womack Ministries, you've got to see this. I've seen several, and I always walk away with my mouth gate wide open, go, wow. I mean, because I've had the privilege of seeing Broadway shows and that kind of thing. I have never seen anything done better. In fact, I haven't seen anything as good. That's going to be July 4th and 5th. Same location, 800 Gospel Truth Way in Woodland Park, 3 p.m. Thursday the 4th and 5 p.m. Friday the 5th. That's 3 p.m. Thursday the 4th and 5 p.m. Friday the 5th. Now, that's off in July, so you've got time to get it in your schedule. That's to register for that, go to awmi.net/events. That's awmi.net/events. Now, we don't usually talk about celebrities and that kind of thing on the program. I don't, at least, because it's just not of any interest to me. But O.J. Simpson passed away today. At least we're just hearing that of his death. And I've heard a lot of commentary, of course, on the politics, racial and otherwise, of his trial and you know, what he did in terms of getting away with murder and his career prior to killing his former wife and all of that. Let me bring a slightly different perspective. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's worth noting. You don't hear anybody in the mainstream media talk about the spiritual implications. And there are multiple spiritual implications. Here's implication number one. No matter how rich you are, no matter how famous you are, no matter what the color of your skin is, no matter what you think you can get away with, talk your way out of, hire enough lawyers to get you out of, no matter what public opinion says, no matter what the news media says, there is a day of reckoning for every single individual, and your celebrity does not exempt you from it. So I really believe that O.J. Simpson got away with double murder. And of course, the politics of the country and the racial nature of the trial, I think is frankly a terrible mark on America that we allowed all of that to get in the way and rob two people and their families of justice. And whatever has happened in the past does not justify such a disservice and an injustice to individuals who are not part of any of that. They're just people who were victimized by a murderer. Okay. He got a not guilty verdict. In our system, you get a not guilty verdict, you get to walk free. Then he ended up, of course, getting arrested for committing a kind of strong arm robbery that he claimed was trying to get some of his own materials back. And that might have been a little bit of a comeuppance for him. They spent 9 years in prison. Well, now he's dead of prostate cancer. And of course, I'm sure that there are people out there, maybe his children, family members, who knew him as an individual, loved him. Maybe there's some Christians in his life. All I can say is I don't know the man. I don't know what his condition was when he passed away. But I do know this. If he passed away without Christ, if he passed away unrepentant, the most important aspect of his story is that right now he is getting the justice that he didn't get on earth. And that's a justice from which there is no appeal. And so, folks, that's why I said I don't talk about celebrities and get into the celebrity world and all that, because frankly, I care about them as human beings. I could care less about their celebrity status and how many records they've sold and how many movies they've made and how much money they're making. It's really of no interest to me. It's not out of any kind of jealousy or envy. It's because I know that those things do not matter. That ultimately, it is righteousness that causes us to come into remembrance by Almighty God. And all these people living lives of wickedness who think that they're just, I mean, they're billionaires, they got hundreds of millions of dollars, they think they've arrived and all is well. Some of them think they can buy their way into heaven. But the truth of the matter is, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if O.J. Simpson died an unrepentant man, if he died without Christ in his life, he is in a place right now where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth forevermore. And I think that's the lesson that nobody's talking about in the mainstream media, but that we're going to talk about here. Because we've got to be clear here on what is truly important. And what is truly important is our relationship with Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to get that out there for you to ponder and think about. Because we know, Thomas Sowell often says, we used to be a country in which people became famous for actually achieving good things. Now, you could become infamous, of course, that when the media arose and some of these infamous criminals, they became famous. But we're now, he says, in a culture where you become famous for being famous. In other words, people just follow you because others follow you, because you're a celebrity. Well, I'll tell you what, that may seem satisfying here on earth, but it is not going to get you anywhere in eternity. So, do I admire well-known characters? Yeah, I'm on the program that's been created by one, Andrew Womack, and I could name many others. But I admire them because of what God is doing in their lives. I admire them because of what they're accomplishing in the lives of other people and the positive impact they're having. My guest is one of them. Not just because they're well known by anybody, but because they know well the God that I know. All right, so wanted to get that out of the way. Now, look, I just want to mention a couple things too that I am doing so you'll be aware. I'm on every morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. For those of you Mountain Time, Pacific Time, it's a little early for you, but the program remains archived on YouTube, the E.W. Jackson YouTube channel, and on my Facebook page, which is E.W. Jackson SR. That's my Facebook page. And that's called E.W. Jackson for America. E.W. Jackson for America. You can find it wherever you look up podcasts to figure out how to watch it. But I'm on 8:30 every morning talking about the issues of the day from a biblical worldview perspective, okay? Again, which is not what you're going to get in the mainstream media. You're going to get a secular perspective, sometimes what they would call conservative, but not really biblical. And, you know, conservatism, when it's not rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word, is a very unreliable foundation. conservatism, true conservatism, has got to be rooted and grounded in God's word. The second thing I want to mention is we got a Stand Awards dinner coming up on June the 11th. I want to thank Andrew Womack Ministries. They're sponsors of the dinner. We've got a number of other people sponsoring. We invite you to come. It's going to be June 11th. That's a Tuesday. It's going to be at Leesburg, Loudoun County in Virginia. That's up in Northern Virginia, not too far from Washington, D.C. And I am really pleased that this year, for the first time, this is the fourth one we've held, because COVID got in the way when we started them. We had did a two-year interruption because of COVID. But we are having it at Cornerstone Chapel, one of the great churches in America. The dear friend, great man of God, courageous man of God, Pastor Gary Hamrick. If you've never heard of Pastor Gary Hamrick, look him up. Check it out. Check out Cornerstone Chapel. He's got a growing, thriving church there, and he is a courageous man of God who does not mince words on God's word. He just does not play those games. He's not sitting in a corner protecting himself and not saying anything for fear that someone will be offended. He is putting the word of God out and just letting the chips fall where they may, and God is blessing that ministry tremendously. In fact, I'm going to have him as a guest on the program at some point, and he's going to talk about the fact that the IRS came after him and how God worked that out in his favor. It's a great story. But that's going to be at Cornerstone Chapel. The honorees are Brigitte Gabrielle, who you probably know, Pastor Johnny Hunter, some call him the godfather of the Black pro-life movement, Sandy Rios, formerly of American Family Radio and American Family Association. She's been a fixture in the Christian conservative movement. Pastor Gary Hamrick is going to be one of our honorees. And we're honoring the late Bishop Dean Nelson, who died at 55 years old last December, a great man of God, again, a great pro-life warrior, and the founder of the Frederick Douglass Institute. So we got a great lineup for you. We're going to have participation by Senator Josh Hawley, Senator Ted Cruz, and a number of others. Congress will be in session. They'll be voting that night. So it's still up in the air who will be able to show up, because this is the problem when you're in Congress. You just never know when votes are going to be taking place. But in one way or another, their presence will be felt, because I've talked to them, and they're very supportive of the work that we're doing at Stand. And I want to thank Andrew specifically for his support of our work. All right, I think that covers everything. And for all of our Oklahoma and environs people, I will be at Fairview Baptist Church, a.k.a. Liberty Baptist Church, on Sunday, April 14th. That's coming up this Sunday. At 8:30 and 11:30 a.m. services this coming Sunday morning. That's at 1230 North Sooner Road in Edmond, Oklahoma, which is, I guess, 30 minutes outside of Oklahoma City. Okay, with those things out of the way, and having covered the O.J. Simpson issue, let's get to one other issue, and then I want to introduce the reason I brought my guest on. You all know that there's very serious discussions and very serious warnings now happening that Iran may be about to unleash a missile strike on Israel. Now, I want to come at this from two different perspectives. One is the political and the military perspective, and I want to look at this from a spiritual perspective as well. First, from the political and military perspective, I'm convinced that the reason why Iran is even contemplating doing this is because we have a weak administration in America that is more interested in appeasing our enemies and empowering our adversaries than they are in protecting the national security of the United States of America and our allies. I mean, you remember, Joe Biden took the, not unprecedented because Obama did something similar, but took the, as far as I am concerned, the suicidal, homicidal, genocidal action of releasing $6 billion in frozen funds to Iran. And we were assured all the time that, oh, don't worry about that. This is for humanitarian purposes. They're going to use this money for good things. I mean, folks, if you believe that, I've got a bridge I'd like to sell you in Brooklyn, and I'll sell it to you cheap. Just send the check. I mean, who believes that? This is an evil, dictatorial, bloodthirsty regime that has announced over and over and over again that they would like to see Israel destroyed. They would like to see America destroyed. We released $6 billion to them, and we think it's not going to be used to promote terrorism. They are the biggest funder of terrorism in the world. Now, this is, I didn't think anybody could do worse than Obama. But as you all know, Obama shipped him cash. I think about $1.4 billion in cash in the middle of the night. This may be worse. And certainly more money. I don't know how they got it to them. But we are funding our own demise and the demise of our allies. We are funding people who fundamentally want to hurt us. So how in the world do we end up with leadership that somehow is more interested in appeasing evil than they are in protecting America and Americans? But that's where we are, folks. That is where we are. In case anybody is in doubt about where I stand, and of course, I don't speak for Truth and Liberty in this regard. I speak strictly for myself, because as a program, we don't normally do endorsements, but I want you all to know that I, E.W. Jackson, am supporting Donald Trump for president. I believe that our country faces an existential threat. And this all this stuff about Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, Donald Trump may want to be a dictator, I don't believe any of that for a minute. Folks, if I thought in my heart of hearts that Donald Trump wanted to be a dictator, I wouldn't be supporting him because I don't believe in that. Donald Trump doesn't want to be a dictator. Donald Trump loves America, but he wants to do things that are in accord with our best interests rather than in accord with the interests of people who hate us. We've got to vote Joe Biden and these Democrats out of office, or they're going to destroy this country. I mean, you've got the illegal immigrants flooding across the border. He's now saying he's considering executive action. 4 years into his presidency, he's now considering executive action to do something about it. He's not interested in doing anything about it. He never wanted to do anything about it. They want these people coming in because they really believe that they are a pathway toward total hegemony over this country. They believe they will swell the congressional rolls in the blue states that they flood into, and that they will ultimately become citizens and vote for Democrats. And they see this as a way of creating America as a California or a Massachusetts or Vermont or a Maine, a one-party state. Well, Maine's not quite one party, but for all practical purposes, they are. California and Massachusetts and Vermont are one-party states. I mean, there might be one or two Republicans here or there, but there's no opposition party there. They want to run America the same way communist countries run their nations, which is to say, oh, we have elections. Absolutely, we have elections. And we put and there are candidates on the ballot. There's only one issue. The only the candidates we already want to win can win. And that's where they want to take America. And that's what all of this illegal immigration is about. And very few people are willing to say that. I heard one congressman say that. I said, I've got to talk to him, because I hear very few who are willing to say Democrats see this as a pathway to permanent power and control. We know it's not about compassion. We know they're empowering the cartels. We know they're increasing human trafficking. We know that women and children are being sold into the sex trade. We know people are placed in enslavement situations when they get here because they owe the cartel sometimes as much as $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. They don't have the money to pay them back. We're being told that the economy is great. But look at where we are. I was talking to a young man earlier before the program started. Who can buy a home today who's not wealthy? When you need to put 25, 30% down on a home with the average price of a home these days, who can do that? I mean, we are in a debacle. We are in a mess. I know I started out talking about Iran, but I'm just pointing out that from a political perspective and a military perspective, these people are doing things that are completely contrary to the best interests of the United States of America and our allies. Okay, so that's the political perspective. Now, let me give you the spiritual perspective on this. The Bible makes crystal clear that Israel is going to be a central focus of demonic attack in the last days, that we are ultimately coming to a point when the times of the Gentiles will be over, and that the full power of the Antichrist will be turned against Israel. And look, I'm not saying anything that's not already out there publicly. Some of you may find this shocking. I wrote an article, my goodness, now 7-8 years ago, pointing out, making the argument that Barack Obama was a closet anti-Semite, but that he hid it very well because they need Jewish money and they need Jewish support, and they didn't want to come out and tell people exactly how they really felt, but you could see it. You see it in the way they treat Netanyahu. Obama, if you remember, stuck him in the basement one time and went off and did something and just left him waiting like he was some kind of delivery man. And now we see this president, Biden, making demands upon Netanyahu and telling him, you must effect the ceasefire. Not because it's in your best interest, but because we say so. And equating the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, equating them with Hamas. Blinken was asked, are you equating them with Hamas? I can't. And he said, I can't say whether it's possible to equate them completely with Hamas, as if to say, well, they're approaching that, but we can't say whether they're actually comparable yet. What? You and I know 70% of the Palestinians support Hamas. They've got complete control and support from that, control of and support of that population. You and I know that they believe in putting civilians out front in order to interfere with and to inhibit the ability to do military maneuvers and strikes and actions there so that they can say, see those Jews. They're bloodthirsty. They're killing civilians. When we know that all of the Muslim terrorists have declared, we will defeat America because America loves life. We will defeat Israel because Israel loves life. We love death. I mean, they've said that repeatedly. We love death. They think that death is going to give them some kind of audience with Allah with 70 virgins. I mean, these people have got a warped view of the world and a warped view of life and a warped view of eternity. I mean, they're spiritually mad. They're wicked. And to equate Israel, that wasn't doing anything to Hamas or the Palestinians until they were brutally attacked on October 7th, which got this war started. And look at all the hostages that Hamas has captured. But you've got to do a ceasefire without regard to the hostages. All right. The sad fact of the matter is, folks, and this needs to be said, and some of you watching me for the first time on Truth and Liberty may not have heard me say it, but I've said it before. The Democrat Party is the party of the Antichrist. It is everything God loves, they hate. Everything God hates, they love. And so this is very much a spiritual battle. They are on the side of the forces that believe that somehow Israel needs its comeuppance. Israel needs to be beaten, to be battered. It might not go so far as to say Israel needs to be destroyed, but when you say you need a two-state solution, you might as well say, ultimately, we want Israel destroyed. Because if you empower with full military apparatus and full UN and other support, a state neighbor beside Israel dedicated to Israel's annihilation, which is what they've said they are committed to. They are committed to the elimination of Israel and the Jewish people. You might as well just come out and say, yeah, we want Israel destroyed. I mean, that's a shorthand way of saying it. Maybe a camouflage for it. So make no mistake, as with all these other issues we're dealing with, you know, this is why I say, and I'm so thankful to God in the way that, you know, he is using Andrew Womack and Andrew Womack Ministries, because the reality is politics is not the answer. It's not the answer, because we're in a spiritual battle, not a political battle. But you can't ignore the political dimension. You can't abdicate responsibility and stewardship in the area of politics, just because we know that politics is not the ultimate answer. You just can't do that. And so we've got to be involved. We've got to be engaged. We've got to step forward and allow our voices to be heard from God's perspective. Remember, folks, the world has opinions. We have the truth. Now, that's not a statement of arrogance. That's not a statement that says, well, Bishop Jackson has the truth. No, no. It's a statement that says the word of God is true. And look, if the word of God is not true, if there is no God as the left wants it to be, then might makes right. And who is right? The one who's got enough power and force to make everyone bow to what they want. But might does not make right. God's word is right. God's word is true. Psalm 128:104 says, all your precepts are right. Therefore, I hate every false way. And Psalm 119, verse 104, and Psalm 119:128 says the same thing. I consider all your precepts concerning all things to be right. Therefore, I hate every false way. All your precepts concerning all things are right. Look, God is right, and everybody who disagrees with him is wrong. It's just that plain and simple. And if America's to have a future, if America's to be a shining city on a hill, the Bible makes clear what the formula is. It's not a Democrat formula, Republican formula, an independent formula. It is a biblical formula. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. That means when a nation builds its practices and policies and culture on righteousness, that nation will be exalted. When the leaders uplift and uphold those principles, the nation will be exalted. But when the nation builds its foundation on sin and on lies, that leads to nothing but bondage and destruction. I mean, Jesus said it, if you build your house on the sand or you build your house without a foundation, when the rain comes and the floods come and the winds blow, it's going to fall, and the house of that the fall of that house is going to be great. But if you build it on the rock, and that rock is Jesus, that rock is God's word, that rock is truth, the winds are still going to come, the rain's still going to flow, fall, and the floods are still going to come, but the house will not fall because it is founded, it is rooted, it is grounded on the rock. That's the key to America's future. When we come back, I want to talk about another element that is gripping our country right now and really being used to try to rip us apart, and that's the issue of how race is being used. It's being used against Donald Trump. It's being used against the entire country. My guest is an expert on this issue, has written about it, talked about it extensively, and I'm looking forward to having him on to share his thoughts with you. Believe me, you're going to find this insightful because we're not coming to you with the secular media perspective, but with a biblical perspective. This is Truth and Liberty. I'm your host tonight, Bishop E.W. Jackson. It's my pleasure to be with you and to have an opportunity to share truth with you. Don't forget, we are going to be taking calls a little bit later. I would urge you to call in at 719-619-2341. That's 719-619-2341. Stand by. We'll be back in just a moment.
At Truth and Liberty Coalition, we have big plans to make a big impact. If you want to be a part of turning our nation back to God, I want to invite you to become a supporter of Truth and Liberty. You can go on our website at truthandliberty.net to the donate page and make a gift there. And you can also sign up to make a recurring automatic gift of $5 or more per month, and then you'll become a Truth and Liberty member. And our gifts to Truth and Liberty are not tax deductible, but I promise you, God sees your generosity. So go to Truth and Liberty and become a member today.
I'd like to invite you to join me either as an attendee or as a sponsor of our Truth and Liberty Awards banquet in 24. We started this last year, and this year the winner of our Samuel Adams Award is Pat Bradley with Crisis Aid International. I tell you, he is one amazing person. And then Coach Joe Kennedy gets the Samuel Whitmore Award. And I tell you, that's going to be great. And our guest speaker is Riley Gaines. the lady that has been standing up for, you know, getting men out of women's sports. It's going to be a great time. It's May the 3rd. It'll be at our Caris Bible College, and we do have sponsorships. This is a fundraiser as well as an award banquet. So if you would go to our website at truthandliberty.net, you can get all the information and join us on May the 3rd for our Truth and Liberty Awards banquet.
We're back. Truth and Liberty. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again tonight. I've got a very special guest. He's a dear friend. I'm honored to know him. He is a warrior for God's word, a great pastor. If I tried to give you his entire background, we'd spend the whole program doing that. So let me just give you a little bit of his background. If you're not familiar with him, make sure that by the end of this program, you make it a point to get familiar with him and find out what he's doing and how you can support him. But Reverend Dr. Melvin Johnson was licensed to preach the gospel in April of 1988 at the Hall Chapel Baptist Church. He's been a senior pastor at the Heart of Christ Community Church, where he and his wife Sheena, his wife of 42 years, have served for 27 years. They have 9 children, 2 biological and 7 adopted. He's earned a BA degree in religious education, an MA degree in Christian counseling, and a DM in theology from Covington School of Theology. He's authored several books. We'll be talking about some of those tonight. As Junk Food in the Body of Christ, a lot of that, Overcoming Racism Through the Gospel, From Heaven to You, and he has a new book coming out titled Understanding Socialism and the Danger It Brings, A Basic Primer. My good friend, Dr. Melvin L. Johnson. Dr. Melvin, it's great to have you with me. Thanks for taking time to be with us tonight.
Well, Bishop Jackson, it certainly is a blessing and an honor to be with you today, and Andrew Womack Ministries, we certainly are greatly appreciative for their willingness to, let's just say, have us, me particularly, on program.
Well, brother, it's an honor to have you on. So look, I know you and I could talk about all kinds of issues because you're well-versed in all of them. I know I've spent time with you. And know you well enough to know that there's really nothing that you wouldn't be in a position to talk about. Take a minute or two and just give me your overall perspective on where we are in the country. I know that's pretty broad, but just tell me what you're thinking right now about where America is.
Well, Bishop, I am firmly in the belief, based upon past history, even today, that if we as Christians, Americans, if we do not come together and make sure that Joseph Robinette Biden does not become president in 2024, not get reelected, we will be headed down a spiraling tunnel, I would say, trying to describe it, into a hellish culture and civilization of which I do not believe that we could come back from unless Jesus intervenes in a very dramatic way. We are in trouble because we have allowed the enemy, the wicked, to rule for so long. And you cannot help but to bring it into the political arena. In my view, Bishop, politics is the battleground by which the spiritual warfare of our age is being waged. Mm-hmm. We must, as Christians, stand up and vote in the way that best brings and preserves and keeps honor for God as well as our Christian faith. We're in trouble.
Amen. Amen. Look, I completely agree with that diagnosis. And I always say, my hope, when people ask me, well, why are you so optimistic? Well, my hope is in people like you. You see it. Those who you're influencing see it. those around this ministry, Andrew Womack Ministries, around the things that I'm doing, they see it. So there is a seed, there is a remnant of people who understand what is going on. And the question is, will we stand up to the level that we really need to in order to pull the country back from the brink? So look, you mentioned we've got to get Joe Biden out of office. That means getting Donald Trump elected. Let's talk a little bit about this whole racial issue, because I know this is something that you've thought about and written about. I've heard you speak eloquently about. I sent you some articles today because these just popped up recently. Whoopi Goldberg, this woman, Jennifer Lewis, if Donald Trump gets elected, if the Republicans take over, they're going to put black people in slavery. They're going to put black people in concentration camps. And these are the tactics that are used to divide the country, to scare black voters into voting Democrat, once again, to voting for Joe Biden. Talk to us a little bit about how this racial issue plays out in America, how the left uses it, I should say, and how you see us responding to that so that people aren't hoodwinked and manipulated with these scare tactics.
Yes, Bishop. Thank you for the opportunity again. You know, scaring people, I call this boo-ism, you know, from the aspect of trying to keep people afraid. You know, boo-ism. There's a ghost behind every tree. Boo, there's a Klansman behind every white face, and all of these different things. But, you know, the Democrat Party has, I would use the term, devolved into a party of people who have departed from the faith, those who were Christians. And now, as in 1 Timothy chapter 4, they've departed from the faith, and now they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons and devils and speaking lies and hypocrisy, you know. So these things are going, the Democrat Party back in September the 5th, 2012, in North Carolina, where they had a national convention. If you would listen to that moment when they had decided to remove any references to God, to Israel, to Jerusalem.
Some of the
attendants there, the delegates there, got wind of it and apparently started voicing their opinion about it. And so they had a floor vote. Now, with that floor vote, if you would listen intently, you will actually see or hear that those who wanted to keep God and keep any references to Jerusalem or Israel out actually won that vote because they did a floor vote by voice. And if they had a decibel meter, maybe it would have been different, you know, as far as being more objective. And the former mayor of Los Angeles was the one who presided over that session. They tried, I think it was three times, to get some clarification. And every time the no's got louder. So that tells us, in the first place, why would the Democrat Party want to remove any references to Almighty God in the first place? That should be an indication to anybody, any Christian who's still in the Democrat Party, that should have been an indication as far as something's wrong. You know, I know some delegates who had went, and they would try to rib me about my conservatism and being a member of the Republican Party. And so I turned the question around and asked them, what did they do when that vote came up? Unfortunately, they had no clue that it even happened, you know? But the question still remains from that aspect. And so it has to roll over into politics because this is the way we get things done, get things changed. And so the battle is on.
I just released this Exodus Now, the sequel, making the argument that the Democrat Party is really the party of modern psychological slavery because it still treats black voters like it owns them and basically has command over their souls, essentially, to, you know, you vote the way we tell you to vote. Or as Joe Biden said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. I mean, what is that? Why do black Christians, and we know it's true because the majority of people voting are coming out of the churches, why do black Christians continue to vote for a party that you and I could go down the list of destructive impacts it's had on the black community, continue to vote for a party that has all of these negatives when it comes to how it's dealt with the black community in general? Everybody's got a theory about this, but I'm asked about it all the time. What's your theory? Why are they continuing to vote, and are we going to see them finally break away?
Would be one of the blessed, most blessed, pleasant sights that you and I could possibly ever see in this world. Number one, some say, well, my mother and father were Democrats, so that's tradition. And then some who have been part of this party, Bishop, if you were going somewhere the wrong direction for, let's say, 20 or 30 years of your life, and someone says, well, you're going in the wrong direction, how quickly will you actually turn around? Some have been so involved in the philosophies of the Democrat Party, not necessarily the machinery, but having accepted their thoughts and beliefs that, well, they care about us, and that type of mindset. Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned that term Booism, where they have been convinced, many blacks have been convinced that it was the Republican Party that has caused them to live and exist in the conditions that they live and exist, while at the same time convincing them that the Democrats are their deliverers, their heroes, the ones who really care about them. And so this is, I would say, one of the greatest deceptions that has been fomented on the population of not just the black community, but the whole nation, the United States, to be that deceptive. That is a spiritual battle, and many blacks are coming around, and particularly black males, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, we still have work to do.
Amen. And look, and here's the new elements that have been added to this, something you and I have been talking about for years, but has now become more prominent. How can you, as a Christian, support a party that tells you that there's no male or female, and your little boy may really be a little girl, and your little girl may really be a little boy, and if you don't agree with that, we're going to take your child from you, we want to inject your child with hormones, we want to cut off your child's genitalia, cut off your daughter's breasts, or tell you that if you don't go along with homosexual marriage, there's something wrong with you, you're a homophobe, and we're going to teach your children the truth about what a hateful person you are, and show them how they need to support this. And then going to say, you know, we're going to bring all these illegal immigrants in. We're going to put you out of your schools. we're going to close up your community centers. We're going to close up your gym so we can accommodate all of these illegal immigrants who aren't even citizens. And then you go to the voting booth and you say, but you know what? They're for me, you know, and I'm voting for them. Christians of all people ought to see through that lie. And here again, your voice is being heard, mine is being heard, and some of the people on our team at Stand are being heard. Is there anything else we can and should be doing? I know you've written a book about this, that we can and should be doing to help wake people up.
Well, we must continue to sound the alarm. We must challenge people in their thoughts. You very seldom see a conservative, let's just say in a cordial conversation with a group, break out and say, well, I'm a Republican and we're going to do all this. Usually it's the black Democrat who's going to bring the challenge by being overly critical, accusatory, let's say, with Donald Trump. and then we might speak up. But one of the things I think that we should be doing, or should start doing if we're not doing it already, is to wait to seize on the opportunity, not from the argument's point of view, not for arguing, but asking questions that will start making them think for themselves. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama spent 8 years telling blacks, for example, that Fox News was fake news, and conservatives were all racist, right? You and I, we're Uncle Toms, frankly speaking. Mm-hmm. And so he's had 8 years at least, still doing it, actually. He's running the White House right now, actually. But the thing about it is, they have been programmed to think that way. And because of that, we have the duty, the responsibility to confront those who are in the process of believing still that the Democrat Party is their savior or their salvation.
You know,
we'll talk. No, we'll need to talk.
Look, let's you and I have a conversation. I think our audience will benefit from this, too, because this whole thing of sexuality and sexual morality, you know, I always think of it this way. A people who came out of slavery where you were not allowed to be the man you wanted to be or the woman you wanted to be, many came out with the mindset, okay, I'm free, I'm now a man. And you probably had the same experience. I mean, my father was a man's man. The people that I knew around me, they weren't all living for God, of course, but still, they were men. The guys I knew were men. And it was something that they were proud of, because something they cling to. And now to be told, no, you got to get in touch with your feminine side, and you might be a woman on the inside, and you know, you need to wear a dress sometime, because you know that's really showing how progressive you are. It just never ceases to amaze me that these black celebrities and these opinion makers and so-called influencers are buying into this stuff, and then church people, instead of seeing through it, realizing that they're really being attacked, go along with it. So,
yes, Bishop, you're right. You're absolutely right. From that aspect, we see pastors, unfortunately, I call it spiritual contortionism. They're twisting and turning and bending their bodies spiritually to conform to this type of ideology. We know that historically and culturally, when Lyndon Johnson started the war on poverty and brought forth the welfare system, mm-hmm. you know, black men, black males particularly, were basically made personas non grata. They became more like a burden to the wife and the family, because he had established or sent out 100,000 workers to recruit women to get into these programs, these social programs. And the one condition that program required was that there could be no man in the house.
Wow.
That expelled the men to the streets, and men have been searching for respect, for dignity, and even, I would say, understanding. But they hit the streets, and now we got roving gangs of kids, very violent. And I call these children I'll just say it like this, the children of the beast, because the government system is what has raised them, and no man is around. And if he tries to be around, he's going to get attacked. So we need to turn that part around also. They need to learn what masculinity is.
Amen. That needs to be reasserted without apology, without equivocation. You are so right. Because, you know, and first of all, let me just let the audience know, I love this. We got Buddhism and spiritual contortionism. I will remember those phrases. But you're right. We, in a sense, that was the beginning of an effort, what I call the psychological enslavement by the Democrat Party, of emasculating Black men who were free, taking away their dignity, taking away their sense of manhood. And that's process continued. And I think all this sexual craziness that's going on is really doing the same thing. In fact, when I looked at those commentators who were talking about Donald Trump, and I sent those to you, Whoopi Goldberg, Jennifer Lewis, I think there was one other person, all women, all Black women.
Yes.
Telling,
yes,
you know, the community what it needed to be do. No men, what it needed to do. No men. So you are absolutely mm-hmm. right. This is not unintentional. I think this is intentional. Because I got to thinking about my history and how when you conquered a people, when one big nation or empire conquered a people, generally speaking, they would kill off all the men who were a threat and keep yes. the women as slaves. And so in a metaphorical sense, that's exactly what we've witnessed the Democrat Party trying to do and still doing.
Yes, yes, Bishop. And one of the things I believe that there is a light that's breaking through this darkness. And this mm-hmm. is why you have an increasing number of Black men
yes.
going for and supporting Donald J. Trump. And
Amen.
You see that, you know, there are Black females that have been put into places of power like judges and positions of leadership by demonically driven men like George Soros. And we see the things that's going on over in Georgia with Donald Trump and Fannie Willis and even up in mm-hmm. New York. These demonic presences are ruling America right now, but there is hope when we can see as Black men, many more Black men are supporting Donald Trump for a reason. He gives them masculinity.
He is, again, I've said this, I think part of the left's problem with Donald Trump is he is too manly for them. He's just too much of a man for them. They want someone effete. They want someone effeminate.
Yes.
They want someone who's, you know, kind of light in the loafers because they feel better
like
that.
What they call a metrosexual, whatever that is.
You know, I had a colleague today that I was talking to about this, and that was the first time I'd heard it used to describe Barack Obama. He said, well, Barack Obama's a metrosexual. And I thought, wow, exactly. That describes him to a T. And Donald Trump is none of that. You know, Donald Trump's a New York construction guy. And so
yes.
that's, you're right. But thank God, men are waking up. I think the poll I saw today showed that, I think the number might have been 57% of Black men are now considering Donald Trump. I mean, a very, very high number, which is completely, I mean, they just say it blows away anything they've seen before, but it's men, not women, interestingly.
Yes.
So,
yes. And,
yeah.
And Bishop, let me add, you and I are not talking in terms of basically a political promotion. We are calling out the spiritual changes
yes.
in the cultures that are absolutely necessary and is being manifested in people. I say, let the revival come, brother.
Amen. Amen. You know, in fact, the third woman was Jemele Hill, who jumped on Dwayne Johnson, who is no conservative by any means, but he refused to uh-huh. endorse Joe Biden, and she went apoplectic, not because he
yes.
endorsed anybody, but because she dared not to endorse the person she thought he should endorse. I mean, and here again, you've got here's a disgraced woman who's now got a gig being some kind of leftist spokesperson. And here's Dwayne Johnson, a successful actor, not that he doesn't have his issues, but she's now telling him what he should and should not be doing and trying to stir up trouble. So you're right. It is a perfect metaphor for what the Democrat Party has been trying to do to the Black community. Look, we've got to take a break in just about 2 minutes. So let's talk briefly about how people can get in touch with you. And first of all, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit about your book, too, particularly this one, the one about the gospel of Jesus Christ as an answer to overcoming racism through the gospel. I really want to talk about yes. that one. But how yes. can people get in touch with you?
Okay. They can get in touch with me by, I have my church address. That's post office box. No, That's 404 West Travis Street, Brazoria, Texas. Brazoria, Texas. Zip code 77422. And for my books, they can look it up on Amazon. And that is my communication for right now.
Okay. Okay. And the books are Overcoming Racism Through the Gospel, Junk Food in the Body of Christ, From Heaven to You. That's three. And then you got a new one coming out entitled Understanding Socialism and the Danger It Brings, A Basic Primer.
Yes.
So you're prolific, brother. Thank you for writing and putting it out there, something that will continue to be out there and be circulating. Look, I do want to get to this. We're down to only a minute, so keep the comment brief on this. But just take a moment, if you will, to talk about how Christians ought to be praying about our present situation.
Well, like God said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, right? You know, and we need to pray in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and I say 13, 14, 15. I can't separate those because right. God presents a conditional if my people, you know, mm-hmm. and he said, if I shut up heaven, be no rain, if I send pestilence among my people, you know, if my people which are called by my name, he said, I hear from heaven, forgive the sin and heal the land. God is waiting. Amen. He said, now my ears are attent. He's listening.
All right.
He's waiting
All
for
right.
us to get serious and pray.
Folks, my guest, Dr. Melvin L. Johnson, I'm sure you've enjoyed everything you've been hearing. I want to give you an opportunity to talk to him before I let him go. The number to call in is 719-619-2341. That's 719-619-2341. And by the way, if you need prayer or you want to take advantage of all of the Andrew Womack products that are out there, call us at 719-635-1111. 719-635-1111. You're watching Truth and Liberty. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson. Stand by, folks. We've got more, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
You were created with a purpose. Written in the heart of God. Long before you were born, He is calling you to find it. We want to help you experience His unconditional love, to be equipped and empowered to become a world changer.
Hey, you know, a big part of what we do here at Truth and Liberty is to provide you with the resources that you need in order to stand for truth in the public square. So I want to remind everybody to go to our website and check out our resources page at truthandliberty.net/resources, where you can find material that discusses just about every issue we're facing today in our culture. And these are things that are prepared by our strategic partners and some of the most influential and important organizations in America today. At Truth and Liberty Coalition, we work to unify, educate, and mobilize the body of Christ to change nations. That's why I want to encourage you to go to our website at truthandliberty.net and subscribe so that you can begin receiving regular updates about our show, news items, action alerts, blog posts, and much, much more. All you have to do is go to the website, click subscribe, share your email address, and you'll begin to be equipped to stand for truth in the public square.
Welcome back to Truth and Liberty. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. My guest, Dr. Melvin L. Johnson, just told you about some of his books, where his church is. I hope you'll check him out because he's doing some wonderful things down there in Brazoria, Texas. And by the way, I didn't mention this, I should have, but he is the Texas president for STAND. And so if you want to work with STAND and you're in Texas, he's the person you can get in touch with. He's our Texas president down there and a member of my executive committee. So great man of God. You look at people ask me wherever I go, I'm trying to find a church. I'm trying to find a church where the word of God is proclaimed. Well, if you're in that area and you're looking for a church, he's the man. Go check him out. Go see him. You will not be disappointed. Melvin, tell people again where they can, how they can attend church with you. I don't think we got into that because we've got viewers down in Texas in your area who I'm sure would love to come visit
you. Okay. We have our Sunday morning starts with, we have a what we would call a Sunday school type session, and that's at 9:30. And at 10:45, that's when we start our worship service. And so we don't have a night service. And on Wednesdays, we have what we call Faith Builders Bible Study. And that starts at 7 p.m. every Wednesday.
And the address again
is? Again, 404 West Travis Street, Brazoria, Texas, zip code 77422.
All right. Well, listen, before we go, I want to cover, and thank you for staying over because I asked you for 30 minutes, but I'm going to take a little bit more of your time. Before we go, let's put in perspective what we're facing with Israel right now, because I'm sure you heard the news that Iran may be poised to make a missile strike against Israel. Israel's preparing for that. We have an administration that seems to be wavering, and that's putting it mildly, in terms of our national support for Israel, in terms of our governmental support of Israel, and demanding that Israel engage in a ceasefire, and equated Israel with Hamas now. So again, put in perspective what's going on there, which as I said at the top of the program, is more than politics. This is a spiritual battle.
Well, yes, absolutely. It's a spiritual battle. Some people may just see it as a fight over territory, and it is. But beneath that, that is the battle to destroy Israel, period. You know, they talk about a two-state solution. What they consider to be the Palestinians, that group, along with Hamas, they don't see a two-state solution. They see a one-state solution, and that one-state solution does not include any Israelis. They want to destroy every Jewish person on earth. That is the position of Satan. It's satanic. And not only that, Bishop, we are seeing the world up to this point, including the United States, through President Biden, turn its back on Israel for the hope of allegedly bringing peace. Now, if Joe Biden brings peace, then I believe the clock starts to tick. In other words, bringing the Arabs, the non-Jews, the Muslims, and the Israelites together in a peace plan. I would say that the clock would start ticking as far as Jesus's return is concerned. But that's a little bit deeper. So we must stand for Israel as God had told Abraham. And I'm a firm believer that that's still good, that promise. So I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. At this point, our current administration is in the process of stabbing Israel in the back and making an alliance with the Muslim world, actually. But when they see Biden and the United States trying to make a bargain, trying to talk and make, they see that as weakness. They don't mind, as Muhammad did in his time. I think it was at Quraysh, when Muhammad, they struck a peace treaty, and not after they got that equality, that equilibrium, they executed, they murdered all of the Jewish people historically. Mm-hmm. You know, and they still believe that that's what they're going to do. Look at even here in Dearborn, Michigan, what's the chant right here in the United States? Death to Israel, death to America. And they mean it.
In our own country, they're chanting this, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And I learned a few months ago that Dearborn, Michigan is being seen by the Islamic world as a modern day Mecca for those who can't make it over into Saudi Arabia. And it is incompatible. The Quran is incompatible with the Bible and the Christian way of life.
And the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution. Yes.
Well, look, before you go, 719-619-2341. If you want to ask a question, folks, I'm holding my guest over to give you that opportunity. 719-619-2341. Or ask a question of either or both of us. We do have a caller on the line, AJ from Colorado. AJ, welcome to Truth and Liberty.
Hey, Bishop and Reverend Melvin. Do either of you believe that Americans should receive reparations for slavery?
Well, you know, I'm going to let my guest take that.
I'm sitting here having the time of my life. This is my reparation, that I'm free to go and do and be whatever I want to, just like any other person that is a citizen of the United States of America. This reparations, okay, who's going to get the Democrat Party? Are they going to do any reparations? They're the one that held blacks as slaves. What about Islam? They're the one that captured many and most of the blacks that are here in America. What about them? Reparations is a socialist, Marxist strategy to keep blacks upset, angry, and seeking something that they have not even earned.
There you go. And dependent. Exactly. Give me something. Yes. I'm owed something. And making everybody else guilty of something that they never did. And that in many cases, their ancestors never did, because they weren't even here in this country when slavery was happening. So, AJ, I just agree with what Dr. Melvin Johnson has said. It's utterly ridiculous. And it's unbiblical, by the way, because you're trying to make somebody today pay for the sins of somebody who lived 150 years ago and rewarding somebody who was never the victim of that sin for something that happened to somebody else. So it doesn't even make biblical sense. So
absolutely not. Not at all.
Listen, brother, it has been great having you on, and this has been everything I hoped it would be. We've got to get you on again, hoping to see you on June the 11th, if not before. But look, anytime anything is going on that you want to announce, you want to get it out there, let me know. I'd be happy to have you back on, and I'll be inviting you anyway to be a guest again on Truth and Liberty. Thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Thank you, and God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Dr. Melvin L. Johnson, pastor and author and just an all around great man of God. So grateful for him. Folks, I want to take the last few moments of the program. And by the way, the lines are still open, 719-619-2341. If you have any questions that you want to ask of me, 719-619-2341. I did put out a video. If you haven't seen that video yet, please go check it out. In fact, I don't think I told you where to go. If you want to purchase tickets to support our dinner, you go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. But I put out a video. This is under our PAC because it's a video that discusses very much what the Democrat Party's doing. So our nonprofit Stand, which is a 501c3, doesn't get into that. But we have a PAC called Stand America PAC that does. And the website there for that video is standamericapac.us, Stand America PAC. PA, put a PAC on there because it's a political action committee. It's a super PAC, .us. And check out that video, Exodus Now, the sequel. I want to come back and talk a little bit about this whole issue that we've discussed, but I want to try to get it focused. And if you get a chance to watch the video, you'll see what I'm getting at. See, there is a sense in the realm of the spirit in which the outward form of a thing or look of a thing can change, but the inward spirit of the thing doesn't change. It remains the same. And folks, I am convinced that that's what's happened to the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party, the spirit of the Democrat Party, the spirit of subjugation, the spirit of slavery, the spirit of using and manipulating and owning and controlling people, it has not changed. In fact, I'm convinced of this, that abortion, the killing of an unborn baby, forgive me because I try not to use the word abortion because I think it's just too clean sounding a word, the killing of an unborn baby is part of that spirit. Because understand the similarity in the reasoning. Christians during the slave period in America, Christians and some others as well, but it was primarily Christians who were saying, you cannot enslave another human being. It is wrong in the sight of God. And of course, we know that all kinds of justifications were put forward sometimes in the name of Christianity, which were lies, which were wrong, but were put forward. But Christians were saying, you cannot do this. And what was the answer that was often brought forward? Well, yes, you can, because really they're not human. They're not human like us. See, so this is their status. They're not like you and me. They're not human beings as you and I are. And so this is their lot. It is appropriate that they be controlled. It is appropriate that they have no rights. It is appropriate that someone else direct their lives, someone else determine whether they live or die. It's appropriate. Do you see the similarity between that and an unborn baby? You can't kill an unborn baby. That is a human being. God has a plan for that person. Wait a minute. They're not human like you and I are. They're not human beings. It is appropriate that someone else controls them. It is appropriate that someone else determines whether they live or die, because they're not in the position to make those decisions for themselves, and they don't know what's good for them. We have to decide that. It's the same spirit, folks. And that spirit is lodged in the Democrat Party today. Well, I make the argument in Exodus Now that that spirit is carried over to a psychological enslavement of Black people and any minority person or any person that they include in their victim class who's willing to submit to it, they'll turn them all into slaves. But Americans of African ancestry are the primary ones because their ancestors came through that system. The Democrat Party learned that system during slavery, and they've just brought it into the modern era. So I point out, for example, one of the rules in much of the antebellum South, led by the slave master class, was that Blacks shouldn't be taught to read and write because A, they really weren't capable, B, it wasn't really good for them, B, they didn't really need that, and so on and so forth. Well, now you've got the Democrat Party under the leadership of these, or an influence at least, of these teachers' unions telling Black Americans that you shouldn't have educational choice, shouldn't have educational opportunity. Well, wait a minute. 87% of Black children who graduate from high school cannot read at a functionally literate level. They're reading at eighth grade level or below. That's 87% of the high school graduates. We're not even talking about the people who didn't manage to graduate. And they say to you when you say, yeah, but give people educational opportunity. Let them go to a different school, a better school. Give them scholarships. Give them something that will allow their parents to make a better choice for what would be good for that child. No, can't do that. Oh, no, because you might leave some behind, which is a way of saying we're going to keep you all behind. we're going to keep all of you back. You see the similarity? You don't outlaw literacy. You simply outlaw the ability to make choices that would provide the literacy that you need. I mean, just think about this for a moment. You can't do whatever you want to do as a slave because you have to do what's good for the master. The master's in control of what you can and cannot do. You don't get to function on the basis of sheer merit and ability. You get to function on the basis of someone else's perception, of what you're good for. And what do we hear coming out of the left of the Democrat Party? Black people don't do well on tests. Black people can't learn math. Black people can't do science. Black people can't pass bar exams. Black people can't do well on the LSAT, SATs. Black people can't do well on SATs. We have to do away with all those things, and we will assign them positions where we think they will best fit. No meritocracy. It's slaveocracy. You owe your destiny to someone else. They control your destiny. I don't know whether I've ever told you all this story, but when I was graduating from college, and please don't take this the wrong way, I'm just giving you the facts because I give the glory to God and to my beloved late father, William Jackson. When I was graduating from college, the University of Massachusetts, I was graduating summa cum laude, Phi Beta Kappa Chi, top of my class. I might not have been number one. I don't know whether I was number one or two, but I was up there. And I told my professors, because I'd gotten all A's from my professors, I wanted to, three of them, I wanted to get a letter of recommendation to go to Harvard Law School, because that was my ambition. I wanted to go to Harvard Law School. Wasn't saved yet. If I had been, I might have made a different decision. but they told me, lower your sights, because you're not going to get into Harvard Law School. Because black people don't do well on standardized tests. So what you need to do is find some schools that you don't need to do as well on, and you go to those schools. I mean, I don't know whether their meanings were well-intentioned, but I know one thing. It was condescending. It was truly racist. Because instead of looking at me as an individual, they were simply looking at me as part of a class of people with a certain complexion, and here's what you can and cannot do. That's just like a slave. Boy, you can't do that. No. Let me put you over here. Well, as I said earlier in the program, I was raised by a proud black man. And he told me, son, you can do whatever your gifts and talents and abilities will allow you to do. And don't let anybody tell you you can't. My father used to say to me, when you come up against obstacles, you go over them, under them, around them, or through them. But you don't let anybody stop you from doing what you really believe it's in your heart to do. You go for it. My father used to say, reach for the stars, because even if you don't get to the stars, son, maybe you'll land on the moon. But I tell you what, if you don't reach, you won't go anywhere. And when I heard them tell me I couldn't, I just said, well, we'll just see about that. You know, okay. And I went back and I started researching on the LSATs and finding out how they went and what the tests were like. I found that I could take practice exams. I started timing myself as if I was sitting in the classroom. And I don't know how many practice exams I took, but I must have taken 30, 40, 50 LSAT practice exams, got really comfortable with the exam process. When I walked to those LSATs, I was completely confident and ready that I was prepared. And I did very well on the LSATs. I didn't need any affirmative action score to help me get into law school. And by the way, I got into every single law school I applied to. Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Michigan, University of Virginia. I got into every single law school I applied to. Didn't get turned down by one. I had a straight A average, and I did well on the LSATs. But I was told black people don't. Well, now you know the state of Washington has done away with the bar exam because they say black people don't do well on the bar exam. And again, folks, please forgive me because I'm giving glory to God and to my beloved dad who taught me the values that allowed this to happen because I don't consider myself to be anybody's genius. but I know how to work. I know how to study. I know how to try to get things done. I know how to be determined and how to persevere because I was taught these things. I took two bar exams, not one, two. I took the Massachusetts bar exam and the Pennsylvania bar exam and took them at the same time and passed both on the first try. But I tell you what, I spent a month almost isolated doing nothing but studying for the bar exams. But now we're being told, no, we can't have bar exams because black people don't do well on bar exams. It's just like a slave master saying, well, now, you know, no, boy, you can't do that. I'm going to give you this. So now you're going to be beholden to me, not you. You're going to owe me your position. You're not going to have earned it. I'm going to give it to you. You know what that breeds? Complete disrespect. See, because nobody can take away from me that I passed those two bar exams. Nobody can take away from me that I did well on the LSATs. Nobody gave that to me. My wife and I both graduated from college at the same time. I worked two jobs. She worked one while I was going to college. And then I went on law school and she went on to graduate school, trying to get ready to make our way in this world, in this wonderful free nation of opportunity that we have. So the Democrat Party is really behaving just like the slave master party that it was explicitly operating as in the antebellum South, which is our job is to maintain control over these people. Our job is to get these people where we want them. And our job is to use these people for our benefit. We don't care what happens to them. What we care is, do they contribute to our power, to our position, to our status, to our well-being? And as long as they're doing that, they are serving their purpose. What happens to them? That's an irrelevancy. Okay, they're living in unsafe communities where their children are dying by the hundreds. That's a small price to pay so that we can maintain our exalted status. They're not getting an education. The children are graduating functionally illiterate. Who cares? That doesn't matter because they're serving our purposes, and that's what really matters. I mean, that's really their role in life, you know. Their role in life is to serve our interests. Their role in life is not to grow, not to develop, not to become fully functioning, independent human beings. Their role in life is to serve us. And as long as our policies and practices are creating that circumstance, we're succeeding. And so if we need to bring in illegal immigrants to suppress wages, they won't abandon us because we've just got them so convinced that we're for them that no matter what we do against them, they'll figure out some way to explain it and make excuses for it. And folks, that's the true attitude of the Democrat Party today. And I know there are Americans of African ancestry watching right now. And if you have not awoken to the fact, not woke, but awakened to the fact that the Democrat Party is not for you. If you are a Christian, not for you. My goodness, that's putting it mildly. They're against God. Now, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And there's nobody in the world who can say that they're with Jesus. Oh, but wait a minute, Bishop Jackson, they're trying to help the poor. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. As I recall, the guy who made such a big deal of trying to do something for the poor was Judas, and he was a thief. And that's exactly what we've got today operating in all these bureaucrats. You know, about 80% of the money that goes into the government to pay the poor, you know, pays bureaucrats six-figure salaries so they can help the poor. The poor just stay poor, but the bureaucrats who are helping the poor do very well. You ever get a chance to visit Northern Virginia? Go up to Fairfax County, Loudoun County, two of the five most wealthy counties in America. Guess what they're wealthy from? Not manufacturing, not building, federal government largesse. All those people living up there in million-dollar homes, working for the federal government on six-figure salaries, buying Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces, Cadillacs, Mercedes, Audis, the top of the line. You'll find all the top dealerships up there. And you go, wow, where's all the money coming from? You and me, folks. You and me. That's where it's coming from. While the people that they're supposed to be helping, we care so much about the poor. They sure do seem to stay poor, don't they? So it's time to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. God says, and I will receive you. And I haven't even gotten into to the moral issues that they are just absolutely terrible on. I mean, terrible. And that how Christians should have a Christ. In fact, you know what? I don't think I've ever shared this before, but let me take the last few moments to do this. Because like most black folks in America, born in my era, I was a Democrat. The black community went from being Republican to Democrat basically between the years of about 1933, Great Depression, Roosevelt era, up until about 1965 when Lyndon Johnson kind of solidified it. Richard Nixon, believe it or not, was the last Republican to get a pretty significant black vote, but he certainly didn't get anywhere near a majority. The transition was almost over, and that was it from that point on. Because Jimmy Carter, I think, got only 85% of the black vote, and that was, in hindsight now, that was considered low, but that was the switch had been completely made. I left the Democrat Party in the early 1980s and became a Ronald Reagan supporter because I had a Christian crisis of conscience. I really did. I mean, the Spirit of God began to deal with me and say, how can you be associated politically with a party? And remember, it wasn't as bad then as it is now. But in Massachusetts, you were seeing which way it was going. Barney Frank was one of the most prominent Democrats who was openly homosexual in Massachusetts. When he got elected to the Congress, he didn't announce it until later. But I saw him. I saw this radical support for abortion and killing of an unborn baby. I mean, I saw this government, everything is government. The government's got to do everything. The government, I mean, and it just, none of it struck me, but the moral issues first got me. And God really began to deal with me and say, how can you be associated with this? And at some point I realized it was the Lord really moving me. But here was what my problem was, folks. My father, my family were all Democrats. And I was saying, oh God, what are they going to think? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, you're so busy being concerned about what your family thinks that you're not concerned about what I think. I went to hear a sermon by I'll never forget it, by Reverend McFarlane. He was up there. In fact, he was from Tupelo, Mississippi. And he preached a sermon saying, if you want to follow Jesus, you've got to turn around. And I knew God was talking to me. And the next day, I formally left the Democrat Party. I actually had people who were scheduled to be the godparents for our youngest daughter who found out that I'd become a Republican and withdrew and said, we do not want to be godparents to a black Republican. I am not kidding you, folks. That was the end of our friendship. That's how bad it got. But you know what? I've never looked back. I found me some good friends who were Republicans, and they became my youngest daughter's godparents and are to this day. You know, we've got to do God's will. If we would please human beings, we would not be servants of God. We've got to do things God's way. And we can't associate ourselves with things that we know are ungodly and against the things of God. I didn't leave the Democrat Party on some political calculation. I left it on the basis of spiritual conviction. And that ought to be what moves all of us. So I would just encourage you, folks, don't let anybody convince you that backing up, backing off, staying out is somehow the answer to avoid conflict. Every single one of us has got to take a stand for the things of God. I like to put it this way. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. We're living in that kind of age. We're called to this moment because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. Thanks for joining us here at Truth and Liberty. I'll be with you again next week. Bishop E.W. Jackson, see you then.
Thank you for joining today's Truth and Liberty livecast. You can watch today's and past livecasts in our archives at truthandliberty.net. Our goal is to educate Christians and connect them with resources and organizations to help them impact their sphere of influence. You can help us accomplish this by making a donation at truthandliberty.net/donate. Join us next time for more Truth and Liberty.